DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lip, Farrah Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rap City, your world. DJ Clips, we the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Back at it again. Wilson Rush Podcast. First of all, got to give a shout out to T-Will. He couldn't join us today. He promised his family he'd take him rock climbing, so he had to get that out the way today. But we got C-Rush as usual. C-Rush, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Fine. How about yourself?
I can't complain, man. Beautiful Saturday out in B.C. We got a special guest on today. We got a Michigan alum, huge sports fan, sports management degree from the great Michigan University, Quentin Love. Q, how you doing?
Doing great, man. You know, out in NYC this weekend, kicking it. So, just jumping on, first time, getting experience. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. We really do appreciate you coming on, joining us, man, to put a cap on this 2013 NBA season. Obviously, the Miami Heat are your 2013 NBA champs. So we'll jump right into it, and we'll start with you, Q Love. What did you see from the Spurs in this series as a whole?
I saw, you know, one, I saw definitely, you know, professionalism. I mean, they operate, they're tacticians. And so I really had them win in the finals. I think they're better coached, they're more experienced. And what I saw is they just somehow just let it slip away. They had bench players. They had the stars step in. They had everything going for them. Just at the end of the day, it just came up short.
Yeah, I agree. I think they came up a little bit short. But now, let me ask you this, because I know Tim Duncan personally impressed me. I mean, at almost 40 years old, he really got it done this series. Did you expect to see those double-doubles from Tim Duncan this series?
Nah, I can't say I did. You know, I expected him to come out and be professional, you know, to definitely contribute, but he came in and absolutely exceeded expectations. You know, he didn't really have a ton of turnovers. He was playing defense. He, for the most part, came in and played like the Tim Duncan of old. Essentially, he got up for the series, which you need your stars to do, and he did it. Parker came in. He struggled a little bit, but also got up. And again, nothing against Miami. I just felt like they'd been there enough times that they were going to pull it out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I had the Spurs in six as well. Now, let's talk about Ginobili for a second here. Now, he had that great game. He was inserted in the starting lineup in game five. He had 24-10, I believe it was. And, you know, people thought, oh, put him in the starting lineup. He's the old Ginobili. And for game six and seven, He didn't really do too much. Do you think the series could have been differently if he would have came to play more?
See, this is what most people don't. I respect Ginobili's game, and here's what I really respect. He plays every offseason for the national team. So, for one, the man has played more games over the last 6-7 years probably than any player. And so I feel like he's not probably your best starting player on a consistent basis. Maybe matchup-wise, but on a regular basis, he's going to someone have his streaky sessions just because he you know, you look at his face, his nose, he's been through the battleground. And so you can't rely on him every game to me. It's sometimes you count on him, you need him, but at the end of the day, he's going to have a streaky shot. He's going to have some nagging injuries, and that just comes with playing as much as he plays.
Right. I mean, because some days I have to agree with you. I mean, he looks like he's got the legs of a 50-year-old man some days, and some days he looks good. But let's switch gears here, see Rush, and let's talk about the Heat. I mean, what did you see from them in the series as a whole? Obviously, they're happy with the result. They're champions. But what did you see as a whole from the Heat?
Well, from the Heat, they played when they needed to. They only really, I can say, dominated maybe one game. Other than that, it was a well-fought series. Players came to play when they had to. You know, Dwayne Wade, he's been talked about this series more times than any player on record, you know, even more so than Tim Duncan or Ginobili as far as the age goes, because one game they're saying, oh, he's done. The next game say, oh, there's Vintage Wade. So, you know, when the chips were down in game seven, he came to play. Game six, backs against the wall, he came to play. You know, when it was time for him to step up, he did. And LeBron James has just showed the process of just being a really good player to could be the greatest player ever eventually. You know, when he's hitting outside shots, like he said, pop was going under the screens, sagging people at the elbow, he knocked those shots down when it counted. You know, the Heat did what they had to do to win a championship. And, yeah, it does take a little luck. You know, it does take a back tap rebound. It does take Ray Allen hitting that shot. You know, you can look at at pretty much almost every champion in any sport. It's going to take a little luck getting there. You know, it happens. The ball has to bounce your way. You know, when game six ended, in my heart, in my gut, I was like, whether or not the Spurs can play a perfect game seven, there's no way in my mind that they can win it, because when stuff like that starts happening, you have more so than just talent on your side. You have fate on your side, you know. And for Tim Duncan to miss a shot that he's probably hit 20,000 times in his life, to miss those, that just shows you that sometimes, you know, it takes luck. You know, but the Heat did exactly what they had to do in the certain spots. Big players hit big shots, you know. Shane Battier was a DNP for a game in the finals. But you know what? He came out yesterday, well, 2 days ago, and hit big shots when he had to, you know. So it's a team game.
Yeah, no, I agree. That Tim Duncan shot, I have to say, it reminded me a lot of that Patrick Ewing against the Pacers, I believe it was. It reminded me of that miss a lot, too. But I saw a lot of fate, too, as well, with the Game 6 game. And, you know, with Tim Duncan missing that shot that he's probably made over a million times. But let's talk about Shane Battier for a second now. The mental toughness, the mental focus to not hardly play at all against the Pacers, to be in and out of this series and come in and flat out get it done, 6-for-8 from three ball. Talk about the importance of him, and talk about him more of what he did in Game 7, C. Rush.
He's a professional. You know, that's what they brought him there for. He's been in the finals before with the Heat. You know, for somebody to have that mental toughness, which takes a lot, he's a NBA consistent player. And for him, it can demoralize somebody, for somebody to just be playing all the time and then not play. You know, we're not talking about a regular bench player that may be spot duty. This is somebody who had heavy minutes last year, this year, and his whole career. And then for him to just sit down, be shut down because of whether it be matchups or his shots not falling, then to step in when he has to, that's huge. You know, that's what they got there for. That's what they got him for. You know, they brought Ray Allen in for game six. He did what he had to do. And Shane Battier, when his number was called, he came out and he set the bar defensively, because Tim Duncan, he did kind of alter Tim Duncan's shot. So Shane Battier, he's a glue guy. He'll take the charge. He'll knock down the three. He'll check whoever, you know, and he'll do it with a smile on his face. And that's the kind of player that you need, you know. Those players are very rare. You can look at a lot of championship teams and say, oh, man, without him, they don't win. Without him, they don't win. Well, without Shane Battier, they don't win. And not just for what he does offensively, but defensively as well, because he checks a lot of positions on the court.
Right. And one more Heat question before we move on here. Now, I know LeBron James is obviously a great player, so anyone would be very fortunate to be on his team. So we get that. But don't you feel like Dwayne Wade is very lucky to have LeBron James? Because you can look at D. Wade, and you can just tell, like, some games his knee just not allows him to do anything. Now, those kind of games, LeBron could be more aggressive. But D. Wade, in the games where he feel well, he can produce more. But he's not the only superstar on the team. Now, if D. Wade was the only superstar on the team, then he can't get this far because he just can't do it every night. Do you think he's just very lucky to have someone like LeBron James where he just doesn't have to bring it every night.
Of course, you know, he's very lucky. That's what they signed up for. You know, no matter what, Father Time makes a fool of us all. You know, when his style of play, the slashing, cutting, throwing his body on the floor, whether he's doing it on his own or he's getting hit, that takes a toll. So he knew once they crafted this that, okay, my body is going to deteriorate eventually. So why not get some help? Why not get LeBron in here? Why not get Chris Bosh in here? And that's going to make other players want to come there as well. So he's not a fool and think that he's going to hold up forever, you know? So why wouldn't you want to get, if you got a chance to get anybody, I don't care who you are. If you got a chance to get arguably the greatest player in the NBA right now on your team, you have to. I mean, it'll take the load off of your shoulders. We all know Dwayne Wade is a great player, but when you got a chance to bring in a greater player or on equal status, I mean, it's a no brainer. So it's going to add life to his career at the end of the day.
I agree. And I think it's going to add a couple more years being able to defer to LeBron James. But, Q, let's get back to you. I mean, you know, on this show, we like to go real talk. So Q, I'm just going to ask you straight up. Do you think Coach Pops for the Spurs, do you think he blew this series?
I don't think he blew it. You know, I think honestly, Pop is to me is the best coach in the league right now. He's been at the same team over 10 years. He's been able to take players and find a fit to get them. He's been able to build the chemistry and go into this series. Now, he did make some mistakes, you know, sitting Duncan at crucial points at the end of game, I believe it was game 5 and 6, and as well as Parker, I think those were just, you know, some mistakes, but I don't think he blew the overall series. I think at the end of the day, you know, Miami was just a better team. I don't think they were better coached, and so that's why I think that Popovich, at the end of the day, when I see him execute, when I see him in the huddle, you know, obviously we're not in the huddle 100% of the time, what I saw is someone who made the adjustments, who put the players in position, who gave them the information and the resources, and at the end of the day, they need to go out and execute. And that's where his coaching stops, and for them, they have to go out and bring their physical attributes and their performance. And I think he did everything he could do. And, you know, I feel like he congratulated LeBron at the end of the game, knowing he coached as well as he could through that series.
Yeah, Q, I mean, I agree with you in saying that, you know, Coach Pops is the best in the NBA. I think it's between him and George Karl. But here's the thing that I have to ask you is, you know, when the Heat in game 6, they were down 5 and LeBron James hit that 3 to cut it to 2. Now, it was some loose balls. They couldn't get a rebound and they tipped it out to LeBron James. They gave up an offensive rebound. He hits the 3. So then Ray Allen hits the 3, the same type of situation. A 3 is forced up. An offensive rebound because there's no post players on the court. So you don't think that, okay, if he got burnt once doing that, you don't think he should have put a post player to get that offensive rebound before Ray Allen hits the 3?
I think you always want to have someone in position, but you can't predict, you know, how every bar, what every angle, something's going to take. And you know, that's one play. I feel like, you know, you're going to make some mistakes during the course of a game. They didn't have a ton of turnovers. They didn't have a ton of mental mistakes. I really feel like they just got bested. It's something, here's what I think is, we're not used to seeing them lose in this situation. They were 4-for-4 in the finals. And so we're going to figure out why didn't they win. And it just might be, for me, I see it as they just played a better game. They just, at the end of the day, it went seven games. And it was a close game at the end. And we all would like to have some calls back. I'm sure he has that situation, but I don't think what I would describe as he blew it. I think he made some mistakes, but they weren't mistakes that over the course of the series, he blew the series. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten that far and it wouldn't have been as competitive as it was. And as Shane said, sometimes you just get a lucky bounce when you have things going for you. You know, it's rolling. Early in the series, they were dropping three-pointers like they were nothing. That goes away. And so, it's a game of momentum as well.
Right. So, C. Rush, let's jump to you. I mean, like I said, do you give a... We give him a pass on the first one when LeBron James hits 3, give up an offensive rebound. In the next possession, the same thing happened. Do you give him 2 passes or do you say you blew that game?
Well, I give him a pass for the first one. And the second one, I can't give him a pass on that one. But he's in a position that we're not in. You know, he is an NBA coach, so he has a little bit more insight. We could second guess this all year, but I would have had a post player in there, whether it's Tim Duncan or whoever. So he put himself in a bad predicament and is more exposed because Ray Allen hits the shot. Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot, we're talking about a whole different thing. Kawhi Leonard hits a free throw, we're talking about something different. Tony Parker hits a free throw, we're talking about something totally different. We're not even bringing this up. We're saying how he's a coaching genius again. So, you know, it's probably more exploited because we analyze the game not as a fan, but as in a coaching aspect. So we're probably going to say, okay, maybe he should have had Tony Parker in. Maybe he should have had Tim Duncan in. You know, maybe he should have took out Tiago Splitter on that last play in overtime in Game 6 and had Matt Bonner in there so they couldn't just not switch, you know. So it's a couple coaching things in there, but blowing the complete series, no. Game 6, yes. He blew Game 6, and blowing Game 6 is it cost him Game 7 because, like I said last time, you're not going to win two games in Miami. It's no way.
Yeah, that's a tough one to make the same mistake, in my opinion, two times in a row. But also, I do feel that Coach Pops is really getting a pass on this because his resume speaks for itself. And that's the reason why I think he's getting a pass with this, because if this is Coach Scott Brooks or if this is someone else, you know, I think this coach is really thrown under the bus. I really do. But his resume speaks for itself. So, you know, he's a great coach. But, you know, I personally think, though, there were some mistakes made in Game 6, and they could have won this game in Game 6. But also, like Q said as well, some of those shots didn't fall. If those free throws would have went in as well, we would not be having this conversation about Game 6. So let's take a break here, and let's jump into our freestyle round. So this is our thumbs up, thumbs down version. So we're going to start with C. Rush on this one. And C. Rush, you actually alluded to this one a little bit in one of your early answers. Magic Johnson said that LeBron James can be the greatest ever. Thumbs up or thumbs down if you agree with that statement or not?
Thumbs up. What people don't realize is that he's 28 years old. He has two titles. He's just now, scary as it sounds, he's just now going into the peak of his career. He's just now hitting that peak to where he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. He's not losing a step athletically. He's understanding the game more so. You know, it's scary because we've never seen anything like this. You know, he stood next to Bill Russell, and I'm like, man, they're the same height. And Bill Russell was a big center back in the day. You know, and it's we haven't seen anything like this ever. And I'm just going to enjoy the next 8 years of him being dominant. Even 8 years from now, he'll only be 36. So if he has two rings right now, the sky's the limit for him. Thumbs up.
Q Love, I'm sure you heard the comments as well. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
You know, I got to go with the thumbs down. I think he has a ton of upside. He's athletically gifted like no one other we've seen. But I think at the end of the day, greatest ever may be a bit of a stretch. I mean, not even talking about just Jordan. The person he just mentioned, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson. I feel like those individuals, one, situation was a little bit different. They didn't seek to control their destiny. It's a little bit different game. And I think that approach is one item. I think that, again, with D-Wade and his, how much is he going to hold up, even if he is deferring? And you got other situations like Chris Bosh, who's going to be around him? I think that at the end of the day, he's going to finish with a Hall of Fame incredible career. I don't think I'm going to say he's the greatest ever, though.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about the greatest ever. It's all about who does things first in this world, in my opinion, because, you know, people say, you know, when Michael Jordan retired, oh, he will be the best to ever play this game. Well, if this world goes for another 100 billion years, there's going to be some pretty good basketball players. And I think that's why LeBron James, people don't think, oh, he can never be better than Jordan, because that's the perception I got to go thumbs up on this one. The stats speak for themselves. He's got two championships right now, a bunch of MVPs, two final MVPs. I think he has a great opportunity if he stays healthy. I don't really care where he plays at. If he stays healthy, I think he will be the greatest to ever play the game. So I got to go thumbs up on that one. Let's start with Q Love on this one. And I want to talk about Coach Spo here for a second, the Miami Heat coach. You know, he's obviously got a great team. But Q Love, thumbs up if you think he's actually a great coach, or thumbs down if you don't.
You know, again, I got to go with thumbs down. I think he's a solid young coach. I don't know him personally or anything, but from what I see and what I can observe, I'm going to take Oklahoma City's coach over him. Obviously, Popovich, you know, Doc Rivers. I think he's blessed with an incredibly gifted team who has a lot of self-guidance. They have Battier, they have Allen, so they have some veteran leadership. They have a Hall of Fame general manager in Pat Riley. And I just think that at the end of the day, he's doing the coaching, but I don't call him a great coach. I've just never seen him as a great coach before LeBron got there, since LeBron's gotten there. I don't think he's someone I would say he's grown a lot as a coach. So I got to go to the thumbs down.
See, Rush, Q Love said thumbs down. What do you think about Coach Spo? Great coach?
Thumbs up. And here's why. You know, you have three perennial all-stars that you have to manage. You have to get these guys' ego in check, and then you have to win. That's two different things. Then you got one of the greatest coaches of all times bearing down on you. That's a lot of pressure. You know, from the first year to when it was a sideline blow up between Coach Spo and D-Wade till now, he's shown that he has the respect of those players. He can actually coach those players, and they're actually listening. They're not doing it their own way they did the first year when they were just freestyling up the court. You know, they're actually running sets, and they're doing, you see him coaching now rather than them just going out doing whatever. You know, it takes a lot. It's more into coaching than X's and O's. He's getting them to respect him. He's getting them to buy in. You know, and that's a lot when you're dealing with multi-million dollar players who are getting coaches fired left and right. If they didn't respect him or they didn't think he was a great coach, he'd have been gone for the first year, you know, when the rumblings were going on. But you know what? He bared down and got the respect of that locker room. So to me, he's a great coach. If you can get those three guys to respect you and to buy in with the rest of those guys, and you get Pat Riley backing you, you got my respect too. Great coach. Thumbs up.
I gotta agree with you, C. Rush, on this part. I think he's a good manager, but as far as great coach, I gotta go thumbs down on this one. There's a lot of coaches that I would take over Coach Spo. I have to say that. I'm still, and I know this was a couple years ago, but when they lost to Dallas in six, I thought it was very, very embarrassing. He didn't even have a zone offense to deal with Rick Carlisle's zone defense. I thought that was pretty embarrassing in the finals. So I gotta go thumbs down on that one. Let's get to our final thumbs down question. The tiebreaker. C Rush, let's start with you. Now, as you know, Danny Green, and LeBron James, they were teammates in Cleveland. Now, there were reports that Danny Green hit the club with LeBron James after Thursday's game. Now, thumbs up if you say, okay, it's over. It's okay for Danny Green that just got beat in the finals to go to the club with LeBron James, or thumbs down if you think that was a terrible idea.
Thumbs down. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's my friend, I'm going to congratulate him. We're probably going to hang out later. But I'm a man, too. You know, he just beat me. He just took something that I wanted. You know, so I'll give him a text, give him a shout out, but I'm going to go back with my team and be with my team. I may see him Saturday. I may go hang with him Saturday, but I'm not going Thursday night after the game like I'm a part of the Heat. You know, it's you can't do that, you know. And it's a fine line between, you know, friendship and competitiveness. You know, if if he wanted to go out with him, like I said, go out with him later. But when you just get done losing, you fight seven games, and then you don't even show up in game seven yourself, but you show up to a club, no, thumbs down.
Hugh Love, I mean, old teammates. I mean, do you think it's okay to hit the club after you just lost to the finals to the Heat? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. I don't see anything wrong with it. The season's over at this point. You know, very quickly you're going to have to start thinking about the next season. He has a pre-existing relationship with the guy. If you've ever been to San Antonio, you know, I'm guessing he's very happy to be able to go out of Miami finally. You know, he's been in Miami, he hasn't been able to enjoy it. So, though he may not be celebrating a ring, if you've ever been to San Antonio, which I have multiple times, you start enjoying Miami as soon as you can. And, you know, he's not jeopardizing a run at this point. So, why not? What's wrong with it?
Yeah, I gotta go thumbs down on this one. If I'm a teammate of Danny Green, I'm saying, hey, man, you really gonna hit the club with these guys after they just beat us in a seven-game series? You know, I get you guys are friends, but you gotta figure this out. You cannot go out Thursday night after they just received their hats and trophies. Gotta go thumbs down on that one. All right, Q, did you enjoy your first ever freestyle, man? You enjoy that?
It's a good time. Real good time.
Okay. All right. Let's jump back into and talk about the Heat here. Let's start with
the River War. Not that exciting.
let's talk about LeBron James and how he's viewed. Obviously, Q Love. I've never. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have never ever heard of an athlete criticized and scrutinized as much as LeBron James in my 27 years of living. Now that he's won two championships, do you think perception will change about him now?
Yes and no. I think that people who watch the game, who respect the game, are going to say, you know, he's grown, he's matured, he's become a leader. Other people who are just going to hate LeBron, no matter if he racks up 10 titles by the end of his career, are still going to hate the man. It's just, he's one of those people who is able to take out an emotional extreme for people. Either they love him or they hate him. It doesn't matter what he does. And he carries it probably pretty well. You know, for anybody else to receive that sort of criticism and still show up and not to mentally break down and to perform, if you watch this series this year, and you can remember back to Cleveland series, it's night and day. And so I think that either you're going to see that he's grown and you're going to lighten up, or you're just going to continue to say he's not worth the hype. And, you know, you just really just basing out on emotion more than fact.
Now, see, Rush, you know, like Dave Chappelle said in that R. Kelly song, haters going to hate and lovers going to love. But here's the thing. Do you think some people are on the LeBron James bandwagon now?
People may be going to the bandwagon now, or like Hugh Love said, respecting them, but no, I don't think it's going to change because people hate greatness sometimes, you know, people just hate blindly. They can't give you a basketball reason why they hate him. They can't. I've asked numerous people, say, why don't you like LeBron James? Oh, well, he went to Miami. Oh, he thinks he's better than what anybody. He is better than everybody in the NBA. He is. He doesn't go out and say it. He goes out and proves it. So what if he went to Miami? You all are going to bash him for having free will to go to a place where he wants to go. Nobody owns him. If he wanted to sign with the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL and quit basketball, he can do whatever. He has free will. He's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care how he does it. If he does it at the Boys and Girls Club or he does it at the MGM Casino. You know, but people are going to hate him simply because they want something to hate. People don't understand, like, when they're throwing all this hate on him, it's affecting not just him. It's affecting his family and friends. So I'm happy he said he has no worries. But people are going to not, they're still going to hate LeBron. They're still not going to like him. And it has nothing to do with basketball. It's because they're jealous and they probably hate their lives.
And you know what, C. Rush, I got to be honest. That's why I'm a LeBron James fan, because of that. Because he's just hated for no apparent reason. because he is the best player on the planet. It's the same thing like you watch social media. If the Heat lose, you can always tell, oh, LeBron James sucked. They calling him LeBum. And if he wins, you don't hear anything. So that's why actually, I mean, I respect him as a basketball player. Obviously, he's the best player on the planet. But I like him even more just for that mental toughness, you know, because he lived up to his hype. And Q, that's what I want you to talk about. Now, there's a lot of people because we overhype everything. We sign eighth graders to go to play college. You know, we're getting verbal commitments early nowadays. No, have you ever seen anyone that actually lived up to the hype right out of high school?
Nah, I mean, it's a totally different jump, let alone from college to high school, but I mean, from college to the NBA, but from high school to the pros, I mean, it's not something you really are going to be able to have some case examples of. LeBron, you know, his games are being shown on ESPN at a time when that was unheard of. And for him, again, to come in how he handled it, even when he was losing in Cleveland, you know, arguably he had no one around him. And to me, I'm not the biggest Mike Brown fan, so he had, you know, one of the lower tier coaches. And since then, he's gone on. I mean, he's a good defensive coach. I give him that credit. But since then, he's gone on and he's grown. He's continued to grow. He's learned from the mistakes. He's learned from the losses. And he's handled it time after time, you know. And he's put the teams on his back. He's come out. He's played. He's behaved pretty well. You don't hear about him with no problems in the club. That's the other thing. He don't have any off-court issues. You don't hear about baby mama drama. You don't hear about club issues. No drug. No speeding tickets. The man plays the ball, leads his team, handles it as a leader, stands up as a man. Yet people are going to find, like you said, they're going to find something to talk about. They're going to talk about the headband. They're going to talk about the hairline. They're going to talk about whatever he does. They just going to nitpick at it. But if it's anyone else, it's going to be to such a lower degree, but he's scrutinized based on the microscope he's under. And I think he understands that and accepts it, that it's a part of the deal. However, at the same time, it consumes other people's lives when they're watching a sport, when they're enjoying it, or they're a consumer of the sport.
Right. He called my man a lower tier coach. Hey, but, see, Rush. No, seriously here. Now, LeBron James, now a lot of kids are just overhyped, a lot of them. And I think, me personally, if you don't have the mental toughness to go into the next, regardless if it's college or the NBA, if you don't have the mental toughness to accept that you may not start off as good, see, Rush. Like, LeBron James' first game, and I remember this. It was in Sacramento. And it was a lot of hype around that. If he doesn't perform in his career, and that's why I don't think people like him, see, Rush. Because the simple fact, he has lived up to the hype. That's why I don't think he's hated. But talk about his mental toughness from straight out of high school and to perform to be an elite player in the NBA right away. Didn't take him 4 years. Didn't take him two. It was right away.
It took him 48 minutes because he went out and showed out against Sacramento that game. I remember that game. You know, and that's the thing. You know, like you love said, he's been on ESPN since he's been 15. He's been on Slam Magazine since 14. You know, a lot was expected of him. You know, he was on the magazine with Sebastian Telfair. Where's he? You know, it's a lot of guys who come into this league with all this. Yeah, me neither. I don't know. So it's a lot of guys who come in with this hype who can't live up to it. The Pistons drafted Corleone Young out of Hargrove Academy. He played maybe a season. You know, it's very rare that you have, for one, a generational player who's going to set the bar so high, and then to come out with all this expectation and do it. He came out and just has done it night in, night out. Like you love said, you don't hear about baby mamas. You don't hear about him shooting up the club. You don't hear about him making it rain. You don't hear about none of the crazy stuff that players are doing in other sports who they may talk about it for an hour. Hey, all right, it's done. If LeBron James sneezes in lady face, you'll hear about it for the next 2 weeks on ESPN. And he may even say, excuse me. You know, but he's under a microscope. You know, and I remember I was having a conversation with somebody, and they said LeBron James had a bad game. He had a triple-double. The man had a triple-double and had a bad game. Are you not making sense? You know, so he's held to a to a standard that I don't know who, like a video game player, you know, and people are going to hate him regardless. So props to LeBron. You don't hear him. You know, he keep his nose clean and he living life, you know, and I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him too. And like I said, that's why I'm the hate forces me to be an even bigger fan of him. But let's talk about the three-peat now. You know, Q, let's talk about the three-peat now. And we see D Wade some games, he's 100%, he looks like, and then some games he looked like he can't play at all. And Chris Bosh is just not consistent at all. So now we know LeBron James is going to get them to the playoffs, so we're not even going to waste time talking about are they going to make the playoffs. But let's talk about that three-peat, Q. Do you think that they can three-peat next year?
Yeah, I think they can. I don't – do I think they will? I think it's very tough to do. You know, it's something you don't see really at all these days. And so I think they can. I think Chris Bosh, a man you're paying millions of dollars for, I don't think he hit a single point in Game 7, if I'm correct.
You are correct.
Those situations, you know, I agree with you. You can't judge them on one game over the course of a season. However, I think that those situations have to change. You got to go in and take a hard look. You know, Battier – he is getting older, Wade banged up. He's been a physical player his whole career. And so I think that they really need to evaluate some of the things that are on the horizon. When you have other teams getting in position quickly, that's the other thing. Teams aren't waiting two or three seasons anymore. They are really trying to make deals overnight at All-Star break to put them in the first round on paper as soon as possible. And I think when you have to look at that as a competition standpoint, it's real serious because at that point, you know, it's so tough to repeat in itself, let alone when you have other teams and franchises really pushing hard to be in position to compete for that championship as well.
Right. Well, see, Rush, I mean, the funny part about this Chris Bosh situation is when the Heat lose, you know, they say, look at Chris Bosh numbers, and then his numbers, they're not good. And then he apologizes to the team, and he apologizes to the city and say, I have to do better. And then the next game, they usually win because the Heat don't lose two in a row. And then you look at the box score, he did nothing again, but they won, so we don't see anything. So do you think that they're going to have to do something about this to go back-to-back-to-back, C-Rush?
Well, I mean, it's easier said than done. Like T-Will said a couple podcasts ago, it's hard to move that cap number. I don't know who's going to take it. They need frontline help to help him. You know, he's not a center. He doesn't score as much because nothing's asked of him there. You know, he had 5 shot attempts in the closeout game. You know, but he did play very well defensively game 6, game 7. You know, so it may not show up on the stat book, but if you pay in $15 million to somebody to block a shot every now and then, you might be paying a little bit too much, but, I mean, you got a ring. So they're going to need a lot of front-line help, you know, because Indiana kind of exposed them. David West exposed them. Roy Hibbert exposed them. Now, it's a guy in Chicago coming back next year, but I don't know how good they're going to be with all their injuries they have. They're nicked up every year, so you never know.
But he rolls in order, 100% now, though. He is 100%.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it's fun. That's funny. He 100% 2 weeks later. But you never know what's going to happen with the injury bug. You know, they got to get deeper up front. That's going to be their Achilles heel. Now, what they can do, they can amnesty Mike Miller. You know, I don't know how much Mike Miller has left in the tank, so it may be a good fit, and they could bring in somebody for that mid-level exception, which would be huge. You know, Ray Allen has a player option. I believe he's coming back. Shane Battier said he's going to play one more year, and he's going to come back. Norris Cole is getting better. Rio has a player option. You know, they have movable parts. You know, it's a guy named Mr. Big Shot who may go down there for a dollar contract and go play. You know, so they're going to – Pat Riley's not he's been doing this for a long time, so they're not going to just stay in Pat. But I believe they can three-peat because Pat Riley's going to put them in the best position possible with the best roster possible to move forward and do this again. When you got LeBron James, you can three-peat.
Now, Q, now let me ask you this. Now, a lot of people look at Chris Bosh production as he's not really doing too much. Now, people say, okay, his trade value can't be really that high. But let me ask you this. Do you think that there's some GMs out here saying, well, you know what? Of course he's not going to do that much scoring in Miami. They're really good. He's, you know, he's playing third fiddle probably. Now, do you think if there's a GM that say, hey, we can give him more touches and he could be that 20 and 15 guy? Do you think there's someone out there that would be willing to give up some good pieces for Chris Bosh?
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you why. One, he was an all-star when he was in Toronto, number one. Number two, he's won two championships. Someone's going to drink that Kool-Aid. They feel like he has at least got some of that that's going to rub off on someone else. So someone's going to say, I will give him a shot. It's kind of like, let's say, Tim Tebow. You know, people just like to get around hype, or they think someone's a winner, or they just think he's a good guy. And so Chris Bosh, he's tall. He's been an all-star previously. He's got a couple of rings. Again, doesn't cause any trouble. Someone would be willing to take a shot on him. Now, who was that? I don't know. It could be from anyone from, you know, the Clippers are looking to make some moves. Memphis has been competitive this year. They might want to do something. These teams out here right now, like I said, they're looking to get good overnight. He's already been developed. He's not too old. And, you know, if you're going to poach someone from Miami, he's your most likely target.
Yeah, I agree. I obviously, D-Wade and LeBron, they're not going anywhere. But, I mean, I really do believe, even if you look at Chris Bosh's salary and you look at his production, I do believe that there's a team out there that say, hey, you know what? You know, he's only shooting the ball five or six times some games. He's away from the baskets. And this is another thing that people talk about Chris Bosh. Everyone says, oh, he's shooting threes. He's away from the basket. People are saying it like it's not their offense. He's obvious. Coach Foster's not saying, hey, get on the block. And Chris Bosh said, nah, I'm going to go to the corner. Right. Obviously, he's instructed to go there. That's the only criticism. That's one of the criticisms that I do think that's unfair about Chris Bosh. Because people say, hey, well, Haslam's in the short corner. The Birdman is around the rim. Well, I'll be honest with you. That's got to be coming from the coach. They have plays just like everyone else at the NBA level. But, Q, I hope you had a good time today. Thank you for coming. Did you enjoy yourself?
It's been a good time. You know, I've had some more non-basketball rationale, but it's been fun. It's been a great time. I appreciate the invitation.
Yes, man. We definitely, for sure, got to have you back in the future, man, for real.
I look forward to it.
See, Rush, another Saturday in the books, man, on the Wilson Rush podcast. How you feel, man?
Hey, you know, I was a game off my prediction, but, you know, hey, had a blast as usual.
Yeah, if Greg Popovich keeps Tim Duncan in the game, my Spurs in six would have been correct. But anyway, thanks for listening. If you want to send us an email, once again, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. We really do appreciate you listening. And we will be back on Tuesday. We'll talk a little NBA draft as well and other current events. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to wobble up out of here now. Let me see your chest. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby.